It's nice to be with you today. This is kind of a research update, and as you'll find, I've just beginning with this research project to dip my toe into the field of genomic analysis. So thank you for having me over today. I'm from Texas A&M Kingsville, and I've got a great collaborator from there, Sanford Jakes, and we've got two collaborators from the U.S. Botanic Garden, Ari Novi and Ray Mims. Our research is funded by the U.S. Botanic Garden. So a few years ago, the U.S. Botanic Garden started to work with the American Society of Landscape Architects and the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center to come up with the landscape equivalent of LEED certification. So if you have a LEED certified building, what you have is you have a building that's certified to a certain level of sustainability. Either it's insulated very well, or it uses water minimally, or it doesn't require that much energy to function. So they wanted to come up with something equivalent for landscapes, designed landscapes. And so they've worked together on it, and they've come up with the Sustainable Sites Initiative, or just SITES, and it's functioning now. You can become certified as a sites expert and capable of doing sites evaluations. So the U.S. Botanic Garden, since they came up with the idea, and because they kind of want to lead from the front, decided that they wanted to renovate one of their own gardens according to sustainable sites initiatives. So that's where we at Texas A&M Kingsville come in. For the last few years, we've been monitoring their soil at the garden that's going to be renovated before the renovation to get baseline data. And we'll be doing that in the future after the renovation is done this year. But while the renovation is occurring this year, we can't sample everywhere because it's literally this garden has been ripped up by multiple backhoes. So what we did instead was, so here's our Sustainable Sites Initiative, and what are they going to do to this garden, Bartholdi Park, which is just one portion of the U.S. Botanic Garden? They're going to move away from a mostly non-native plant garden to one that utilizes native plants in order to give the local food web more depth, to include more stormwater retention so that stormwater is dealt with on-site and is not exported. And based on some of the work that we've done for them, Bartholdi Park, this park is not oligotrophic; it's eutrophic. There's a lot of phosphorus in the soil, so they're gonna try to minimize future phosphorus inputs. And they've requested the new soil that's put in to have limited phosphorus content. So. Other years we've been gathering baseline data, and we'll follow up after this garden renovation has occurred. But while the garden doesn't have a lot of dirt in place, what we've done is we've measured a few places this year that does have it. But then we went to other locations not too far away that have the same soil that originally Bartholdi Park would have had. It's been heavily changed, however, over the course of 100 years of use in the city of Washington, D.C. It used to be under a neighborhood until it became a park. So what we did was we've gone to a couple places in Washington that are very close by with similar soils that have been mapped, and then in a place as close as we could that's under ag. So we've got a couple ag treatments, just one field of each no-till and till. And I know that no-till field doesn't exactly look like no-till, but the local NRCS people assured me that it was no-till. Until he said, well, we call it turbo-till. And I can't tell you exactly what that is. I haven't seen the turbo-till device. But that's as close as we could get to no-tillage in an ag situation close by on the soils that we wanted. Our non-ag sites were all at the U.S. National Arboretum, which is only about 4 miles away, even less, from the U.S. Botanic Garden, and those included 2 meadow plots, a couple turf plots, and then it turns out a couple old-growth forest plots right there in the middle of Washington, D.C. It was so beautiful to be right next to these gigantic beech trees. It was lovely. So the soils that originally would have been in place at our U.S. Botanic Garden spot would have been sassafras or sunnyside, according to the NRCS, which are fine, loamy, siliceous, semi-active, mesic, typical haplodults. The only difference between sassafras and sunnyside is just their color in the BT horizons. They're very similar. So we were happy to find anything that was sassafras or sunnyside. We didn't distinguish between the two. The star to the left is Washington, D.C., our plots at the U.S. Botanic Garden and National Arboretum. And the star to the right are our ag plots, about 30 miles away. So what did we measure? Well, we sampled down to 6 inches. We took at least 10 subsamples in every plot, composited them. And we sent our samples away to 3 different laboratories, to the Cornell Soil Health Lab that measures chemical, physical, and what I call biochemical analytes, about 12 of them. And then we sent samples away to the Erfurt Lab in Corvallis, Oregon, that measures, it doesn't do genomics, but it measures just active fungi, total fungi, active bacteria, total bacteria, protozoa, and nematodes, actinomycetes too. And we also sent away our samples to the Research and Testing Laboratory for bacterial and fungal data. I'll be sharing the bacteria data with you today, not the fungal data. The bacteria data was more interesting. So what are some basic differences between our sites? So we have our 2 ag plots, the Bartholdi site, that's the garden, and then 3 different sites at the U.S. National Arboretum. So you can see that as far as organic matter is concerned, the Bartholdi garden soils are really in a class by themselves. As far as clay percentage goes, there's some variation, but it's relatively small. The differences are significant, but I don't know if they're substantial. The variation is a little bit greater, but also questionable whether it's really substantial or not. All our soils either came out as sands or as loams or sandy loams. And then pH 2, with our ag plots being the closest to neutral, just a little bit, about 6.5. And the Bartholdi site being about 4.5. So trying to put Bartholdi soil into kind of a continuum of land use and seeing where it shows up, we did a canonical coordinate analysis with this. And you can see that the Bartholdi soils are all kind of clustered together. They're fairly similar. Our one tilled plot is way down away from all the others. It turns out there were a lot of ciliates in the tilled plot and very few of them in any other. Then we also, this was our physical data here, clay percentage, sand percentage, bulk density, available water, aggregate stability, most of those things measured by the Cornell Soil Health Lab. Markers indicate the data that was taken by Earthfort, amoeba population, ciliates, flagellates, predatory nematodes, fungal feeding nematodes, et cetera, et cetera. We also took our soil chemistry data from Cornell and put it on our CCA too, and we have Bartholdi clustering all together in the same way. So Bartholdi has it's in a class by itself with respect to organic matter. And it's kind of in a class by itself with respect to these Earthfort and Cornell soil health data. As is our tilled plot, our turbo tilled plot. So I was not being as familiar with the canonical coordinate analysis as our earlier speaker. I was expecting that our biological data, our data in red, that's farther away from the origin here in these plots, would be more significant in terms of differences between the different plots. And surprisingly enough, that was not the case. But I appreciate your comment, and I've learned something. So it turns out that if we look high up, we have. Let me use my pointer here. Ooh, So if we look on the vertical axis, we have ciliates at the top and amoeba at the bottom. We have predatory nematodes on the left, and we have fungal-feeding nematodes on the right. And I was expecting when we, if we did ANOVAs on these things, that we would find a great deal of significant differences between our sites with respect to these things. But that only occurred in one case, predatory nematodes. So the Bartholdi plots had them, and nobody else did. All the others, there was sufficient uncertainty associated with them that there were no significant differences. You can see here on the ciliate plot that I separated the two ags, no-till and till. I've just provided the averages on the others because the separation between till and no-till in the ags for the ciliates was just so great. We did get some significant differences closer to the origin on those graphs. And here we've got different ratios of active to total bacteria or fungi. And it's very interesting. Here you have Bartholdi with the highest organic matter has a very low fungal populations. Here's total fungi to total bacteria. And we expect the forest to be high, but Bartholdi, with all that organic matter, I was expecting fungi to play a greater role, but they don't. They play the least role. So as far as richness and diversity goes, insignificant differences across our sites. But here we have the stacked column graph. And certainly you can see that the Bartholdi plots are distinguished by a high rhizobial bacteria population. There are a lot of legumes at Bartholdi. Bartholdi also has a pH that's relatively high, which I think is friendly to them. Incidentally, this order from ag down to woods is essentially could also be the axis of pH from high pH down to a low pH. What sets Bartholdi apart in many ways are a large amount of unknown bacteria, ones that just didn't show up in the database that the research and testing laboratory had. Perhaps that means that there's a lot of diversity there in the woods plots that we simply just don't know about yet. The orange arrows are pointing to the acidobacteria, which are more abundant. Here's acidobacteria here in yellow and red, and then again all the way up here in kind of this deeper red. More of that in the most acid, our most acid soil, and less, none of that, very little of that deep red stuff there in our more basic environments. The chloroflexii bacteria, which is here in very light blue, is more abundant in the more human managed landscapes as opposed to the woods. And our actinobacteria, I was surprised by this. Our actinobacteria here in light blue or yellow or black. I was expecting to find a lot of actinobacteria in the woods plot, but it in many ways has the least. That was a surprise to me. It may be that if some of you have some insights here, I would certainly love to hear them. And then lastly, we have these two. Another thing that seemed to separate our human-managed ag and Bartholdi plots from the others were the presence of Micrococcales and Xanthomonodales bacteria. So we did a principal component analysis here too, and you can see the Bartholdi plots separate themselves fairly nicely. The ag plots seem to do a pretty good job separating themselves, and the turf plots too. Maybe woods, but it's not as distinct and separate as we might like. But of course, we have such a low n value here. It's we can't expect too much. Now, this was unweighted. If it's weighted, then it gets just more mixed up. If we look at some heat diagrams, we can see that the Bartholdi plots, which are here, where did my cursor go? Okay, here's the Bartholdi plots here in ochre, and they're all lined up. This is an unweighted data or unweighted analysis. Our ag plots are lined up. Our woods plots look like they are, but if you look at the tree, they really aren't. And the others are not aligned in any particular way except with one another. It looks like the Bartholdi plots are grouped together partly because of this high presence of the Rhizobialis bacteria, and a lack of chloroflexii seems to characterize the tree that's on this side, our woods plots with some of our turf and meadow plots. If it's weighted, it gets a little bit messier, but Bartholdi still keeps its tight relationship, even though the ag gets tossed around and everything else gets tossed around, including those woods plots. So, with respect to many soil quality variables, organic matter, active carbon, plant available water, extractable phosphorus, the activity of bacteria relative to fungi, and bacterial genomics, the soils of Bartholdi Park are really in a class by themselves. They don't behave like any of the others that we've studied. So it's an interesting question for... what does that mean? What does that mean for managed garden landscapes? Is that okay? With the Sustainable Sites Initiative, they're trying to obviously have landscapes that function more like nature and kind of less artificially. But how far does one want to take that? We're going to do some more thinking about it. If you guys, given your knowledge, have any suggestions for what we've got here, what we could do, I'd love to hear. So any questions?